A judicial conduct tribunal released over the weekend results of an investigation into Western Cape Judge President John Schlorper. The allegations going back more than a decade, constitutional court justices acting both at the time, Chris Jafta and Bessin Kabinda, claimed that Schlorper approached them to influence a decision on a case involving former President Jacob Zuma and the French arms company Thales. Well, it took a very, very long time, more than a decade, but now the conduct tribunal says that John Schlorper is guilty of gross misconduct. Professor Richard Calland is with us now, constitutional law professor at UCT and a political commentator. Richard, good afternoon. It's far from the end of this particular judicial road, is it not?
Good afternoon to you, John. I suspect you're right. It will probably be another 2 or 3 years. It'll probably involve other pieces of litigation, challenges, judicial reviews to the decision of the Judicial Conduct Tribunal that you mentioned, possibly the JSC when it finally deals with the matter, and so on. So it isn't the end of the road, but it's a very significant moment nonetheless, and it's the first real time that a sitting judge has faced such charges and that such findings of gross misconduct have been found against the sitting judge, and there therefore is the prospect that for the first time under Section 177 there will be an impeachment. It's not the word that the Constitution uses, but it's effectively the process of impeachment that could lead to Judge President Schlorper losing his office.
And I'm not sure who wrote, which of the three members of the tribunal wrote the judgment, but maybe they did it collectively. Whatever, it doesn't mince its words.
No, it's a very, I read it last night. I didn't know I was going to be doing this interview with it, but I read it out of pure interest, and I expected to speed read it and flick across it because it was a Sunday night, John, but I actually ended up spending an hour or two reading every single bit of it. Of course, it's not for the average reader, perhaps, but if you're a connoisseur of such things, it really is fascinating, the ebbs and flows and the nooks and crannies of this particular matter. Of course, on the outside, it looks ridiculous, absurd even, that it's taken 12, 13 years for this matter to be dealt with. On the other hand, this is, in effect, the rule of law at work, in the sense that all of the relevant protagonists on both sides of this issue at various points litigated, they challenged rulings, the court system had to offer rulings, there were appeals, the law changed in terms of the statutory framework that deals with judicial misconduct. And so it's been a very long road. And of course, yes, it doesn't reflect particularly well on the system in that it's taken so long. I don't think anyone's happy about that, including the tribunal itself. But on the other hand, the reasons for the delay were legitimate ones. They were not frivolous ones, they were not unlawful ones. This was the system working. Of course, Judge President Schlorper was partly responsible for some of those delays, and indeed one of his arguments to the tribunal was that it was unfair for him to now have to deal with these matters so long after they originally happened. But the tribunal was absolutely categorical in saying that was a nonsense argument, partly because he was partly responsible for those delays.
What needs to happen now is that the Judicial Service Commission, which is busy at the moment interviewing judges for various vacancies across the various court divisions and benches, has to okay the judgment and recommend a referral to Parliament. There's no guarantee that they're going to do that. The only other judge since 1994 who has been found guilty of gross misconduct, Nkola Matata, the drunken driving, banging into a wall judge, they didn't agree. And instead of sending a recommendation for impeachment to Parliament, they find him instead a million rand. So it's not a given that this is going to take what would be the next step of going to Parliament for consideration there.
Well, that's absolutely right. So the JSC, by coincidence, perhaps, the decision of the tribunal was handed down on Friday, on Saturday. But now, by pure coincidence, the JSC is sitting this week conducting very important hearings, interviews for vacancies in the Constitutional Court. But they're not going to deal with this week. They will have to set their own time and a special session, I think, of the JSC to consider this. And no doubt it will be very contested and very heated. But the difference from that previous time that you mentioned is that there is that new statutory framework. The tribunal has gone through this with great meticulousness. The decision, the judgment, even if you disagree with it, I don't think anyone would say it's anything other done a very careful, painstaking review of the facts. They've received evidence. They've weighed the evidence very carefully. They've weighed in the balance all of the arguments, including those of Judge Posner-Sobe, and they've reached a very clear conclusion. For the JSC to not take that seriously, I think, would be quite problematic, perhaps. But it will be very interesting to see how they deal with it, nonetheless.
And let's assume, for the sake of our conversation, Richard, that it does get to Parliament, whether that's in 6 months' time or in 18 months' time. Appeals have been dealt with. It's in Parliament. Parliament is considering. Parliament is voting, and Parliament needs to vote for disrobing the judge president with a majority of 66%. And, you know, we've got local government elections. Who knows what's going to happen with the politics of the ANC and so on, particularly the longer the process takes to get to a vote, the more difficult it is perhaps to predict what that vote might be. Because if it were to go to Parliament now, can one presume that the ANC whippery would say vote for the motion of impeachment, or would that be
difficult to say, John. I suppose the best guide, because this has never happened before, it would be the first time, as you say, that such a decision would be faced by the National Assembly, and two-thirds is a significant special majority it would require. I think the best guide would be the recent decision in relation to the Public Protector, where even though it was a DA motion, the ANC voted for it in terms of proceeding to the final stage of removing her from her office. So I think there's probably a good indication. I think it's reasonably likely that the ANC would use its numbers to follow the process, because after all, this is a constitutionally mandated process, a legal process, Section 177 of the Constitution. I think it would be unfortunate if the JSC does reach a decision supporting the tribunal, does say that it's gross misconduct, and does therefore, in effect, hand the ball to Parliament. It would be unfortunate if Parliament ignored that, because after all, Parliament is making a political choice and not an evidential choice.
Thank you very, very much. Clear-headed analysis, as always, from Professor Richard Calland, constitutional law professor at UCT and a political commentator.